This is the last series of God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I think this is the third one. And these three sermons, they were all short devotions. They were based on the first question that was asked even 4 weeks earlier, that does God get angry? and then I said to people, I was not there, I was sick that day, but I suspected that the answer was yes. And then what follows after that, if God can get angry, how does he get angry? And so we have seen this, and his anger, because of the unfaithfulness of his own people, he raised up adversaries. You see, and the adversary in the original language is Satan himself. And Satan is an enemy of God. And then this question comes, like, can God raise up Satan? Well, Satan is already at work. He is an enemy of God. Satan actually means adversary. He is the enemy of God. So, and he's the enemy of God's people. Only God gives him the freedom to do what he is doing. Otherwise, the devil cannot touch God's people unless God allows him to do that. And this is the biblical truth, and we are to hold to this firmly, that the devil has no power over the redeemed to ruin their lives unless God himself allows him to do that. And there are two ways in which God can allow him to do this. When we rebel against God and give a foothold to Satan, and then God will do that. The other place is a mystery to all of us without even doing something wrong. And then also God in his wisdom, we don't understand fully, he might allow Satan to do something against us as well. So, but all in all, he is good, our God is good, and all these things also will work, whether it's our fault or it's not our fault, they will all work for the glory of God. You see, for all things work for the good of them who love the Lord himself. And now today we are at the last of the three adversaries. The last one now is close. The previous one, they were enemies of God himself. The first enemy or adversary that was raised, we found him there. This man, Hadad. The Lord raised up against Solomon an adversary, Hadad, the Edomites. The Edomites, they were the descendants of Esau. And you see, the Lord allowed him to be an enemy of Solomon's. And here they are just like they are empowered, they are strengthened to be a trouble to him. Just observe previously, his kingdom was at rest. No adversaries, no enemies, and then his heart became proud. And you see, he acquired a lot of golds, a lot of earthly treasures, and then also acquired even wives. And so he became, his heart was led into the gods of these foreign women. And so he became proud. And so this man, and now his kingdom is going to be really disturbed. And so this is one of the enemies. And then also, we have read also from verse 23 to 25, God raised up against Solomon another adversary, Razan, son of Eliada, who had fled from his master, Hadadazar, king of Zobah. The king of Zobah, they had a treaty, and they were under Solomon, so they had peace with. And then this man, he rebelled from the other man to make himself an enemy. And now we have the third one, that is Jeroboam. And Jeroboam is like a person that was so close to Solomon. So this man there is tricky, because we read here, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, rebelled against the king. And so now he got in common with these other two, the title of being a rebel. You see, they were all rebels. And now this man, he is from within, a rebel from within. And also he is from the house of God. He is from Ephraim. He is an Ephraimite. You see, Ephraim is the one of the sons of the younger son of of Joseph. And so the tribe is named after him, the two tribes. And so what is tricky about this man? So the root of sin were there in his life, this man. Having seen his master successful, really, because he became the king of the 12 tribe of Israel. And you see, he himself is a man who has a stake in the thing. You see? And now God even is going to give him 10 tribes. You see? And so what is this saying? So even as he was working for his master, maybe he had a root of ambitions to see himself also as an alternative king over Israel. You see? Even as he was there, he was successful. He got the skills. Because we are told here the account of how he rebels against the king. You see? And then why? What is that? What is the account? So other translations say this is how he rebelled against the king. Because he saw, first thing, the king was successful in what he was doing. He has built, you see, the supporting terrace, they said, Milo, in the gap in the wall of the city of David, his father. You see? So he saw this man was successful. And he himself, he has been described as a man who has his skills. He had his skills, a man of his standing. And so when Solomon saw him, that he was a man of his standing and also was good at what he was doing, full of his skills, he was raised into a position of leadership. So maybe we know that is the way in those days. So even we read in Daniel, like always king, they seek people with the skills, who have the skills, who are of good standing. And I think this is a common thing, even in our day to day. But it's not always free of sin, so we should not be deceived. So it's really very important. So I suspect this man, there was a root of competition in his heart. Sin was there. And then now what is going to happen, just God is just going to give him what his heart desires as a punishment for Solomon. You see? To become like an enemy. And then we read the conversation. It is so clear from verse 29 that this man, he was going, and he was going from Jerusalem. Maybe we are not told where he was going. Maybe angry, you see, lamenting the fact that if he could be given the 10 tribes. So he got a big share. It's just like a politics, isn't it? So the political parties, always, if you have been an assistant to the prime minister for so long, and then you want your turn, and so you can have root of bitterness in your heart wanting the top job, and it's happened so a lot. We have seen this in the Australian politics, and some people, they just finish their political career out of resentment, and we saw that with Peter, the brother of Tim Costello, Peter Costello, and then yeah, it was just like amazing. We saw that trouble between Gillard and Rudd. It was just incredible. And Turnbull also with Scott Morrison. So it's just like, even if we call them like conservative, it's just there. So the sinful nature craves for these things. And actually, we are warned in the New Testament that all that we saw in the Old Testament should serve as a warning for us, lest we fall into the snares of Satan, that God will open us up into Satan, and then the enemy will do his damage. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But even with that, so there is also, God is faithful. As much as he has given us his son, Jesus Christ, he said, if you look to him, so there will be a way out for you. And now we see in verse 29, let me just read it just quickly, that about that time, Jeroboam was going out of Jerusalem, and Ahijah, the prophet of Shiloh, met him on the way, wearing a new cloak. The two of them were alone out in the country. And Ahijah took hold of the new cloak he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. That he was acting on the behalf of the Lord himself as a prophet of God. you see demonstrating what is going to take place, both words and symbols in the Old Testament. They work together to bring really what is happening. And this is happening in the spiritual world, people who interpret signs of things. So you observe someone, his actions, why he's acting in that, and then it's not just acting, just what you see, what is behind what he is doing. Then movements could be explained. So, and then he was told that, then he said to Jeroboam, take 10 pieces of yourself, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The God of Israel, the God who is looking after his own people. He is a sovereign ruler over his own people. You see, this is what the Lord says, the God of Israel says, see, I am going to tear the kingdom out of Solomon's hand and give you 10 tribes. Not because you are good, you are better than him, but you are really being used by God to punish this man. But for the sake of my servant David and the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, he will have one tribe. And that is in fulfillment of 2 Samuel 7, verse 14, that God will look after him. I will do this because they have forsaken me and worshipped other gods. You see? So disobedience is always really will stand as a challenge, really, to all God's people. Disobedient to turn away from God. And then disobedience can manifest itself through pride, you see? So if no proud person can please God. Because in our pride, you see, we will sin just in a second. Because that is clear. And so that is the reason, because they have sinned against the Lord, they have departed from the Lord. You see? And so but the best thing is to, when you realize that, you see, because as the Bible says, if we are tempted, the Lord is faithful. Yeah, so he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So you can resist the temptation to crave over after things that will really work against you. So this is what happened. But I will not take the whole kingdom out of Solomon's hand. I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of David, my servant. So what we will see, that the kingdom really will be divided after the death of Solomon. But here we see that even with that, Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam fled to Egypt to Shishak, the king, and stayed there until Solomon's death. That is verse 40. You see, so what is the chapter is closing now, that the kingdom now is not at rest. How is it divided will fall of itself. And we are to learn things here, things that are really serious. And we should not see in the house of God the divisions and the craving and the ambitions. You see, they cause really God's anger. God is the God of the whole covenant. He's the God of whole Israel. And no one is exempted. Even this man, Jeroboam, he was coming from the tribe of Ephraim. You see, even with him, God said to him, like, look, even though you are bitter in your heart and you are craving for these things, but if you repent and really and you see that this is from God's hand and it's not from you, I will establish you too. God is not God that is led by the Bible. You see, he is the author of the Bible, isn't it? You see, all his works are the Bible, you see? You see? But people are so confused, like they read this backwards. It's just incredible. We say there's this God of all grace, this God of all Israel. These people were not any different. You see? And so even this man, he was told, like, I will take you, and you will rule over all that your heart desires. You see? That is verse 37. I will give you, go back 36, I will give you one tribe to his son, so that David, my servant, may always have a lamb before me in Jerusalem, the city where I chose to put my name. He will just give him one tribe, and one tribe is enough. You see, Jesus is going to come from there. That is God's plans. But verse 37, however, as for you, I will take you, and you will rule over all that.